When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Coach, it's good to see you. Congratulations on another incredible season. I know just being here at this banquet in St. Louis, and it's a special honor for, you know, college basketball players and coaches and things like that, but it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you don't get invited to these things a lot of times when you lose in the Final Four, you know. Usually you got to win, so it's quite an honor to be involved with this group and these coaches. So I'm looking forward to the evening.
Coach, you have had a stellar career at UConn. You have put so many young ladies and women into the WNBA and just had outstanding careers. Can you talk to me about Paige Becker? She was a player that got hurt and missed some time and was able to come back, and just the impact that she had on your team this season.
Yeah, well, you know, her freshman year we lost in the Final Four. Her sophomore year, she missed about 20 games, and we lost in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. Her junior year, we didn't even make it out of the Sweet 16. Yeah. And this year, we were in the Final Four. So, I would say, I wouldn't say this in Connecticut, but she's more impactful than I am. I know that. Because I was there for the losses, and So, she's just got this unique ability to make everybody on her team that much better. Mm. And when you have a player that is that good and that unselfish, then great things happen. And and now we've got one more year with her, and so awesome. Let's see what happens.
So, Coach, just to kind of go back here to, I mean, your career is, you know, outstanding in the amount that you have done for women's athletics at the collegiate level, both from a winning standpoint and visibility standpoint. I mean, what can you say about, and just in the last couple of years alone, just the explosion to the fact of the spotlight being brought to women's college basketball?
Yeah, I remember years ago out this way, there was a kid by the name of Rick Mount. You know, he was played at Purdue, and everybody was fascinated. And then Pete Maravich, you know, people are fascinated by that kind of basketball mm-hmm. player, you know. That it seems like they can do things magically. You know, they can make shots from anywhere. They can do things that you – and so when guys start seeing women do that stuff before, like, well, you can't dunk or you can't do this, you can't do that. So guys think, well, I can beat you one-on-one. I can do that. And so there's always that going back and forth. Doesn't exist in any other sport, by the way, only basketball, right? So now you see a kid like Caitlin Clark do what she did. And you see some of these other players do what they're doing. And then add in the fact that on the men's side, it's hard to build relationships with those guys. They're here and then they're gone. Either at another school, they leave early for the NBA. So the fan base doesn't get a chance to grow with those kids. And I think we have a unique situation in women's basketball that these kids, they build their brand at their school. And people just now are starting to embrace it, you know, and it's just exploded everywhere. I mean, you talk about 18 million people watching that game.
It's super impressive.
It's crazy.
Coach, I've seen clips of you speaking with your team in the locker room, and I love, there was a clip that I saw where you were talking to me and said, we don't coach effort. I'm not going to coach effort. If you don't give effort, we're not coaching that.
Right.
I'm sure – you know, there's different generations that come in. Do you find yourself with a similar message, no matter what generation of player you're talking to, do you find yourself with the same message and at least some of the things that you try to preach?
Yeah, you know, the message is the same. It's not received the same way all the time. You know, I like to tell it this way. There was a time when, and you all played sports, so when you went home, if it was Tuesday and your coach said, nah, today's Friday, and you went home and your parents said, you know, today's Tuesday. You go, no. Today's Friday.
Right.
Why? My coach said today's Friday. That was God talking to you, right? Your coach. Now these kids, they have so many voices in their head, mm-hmm. coming from so many different places because of technology, because of parental involvement, whatever you want to call it. You're just this much of a voice. You know, you're a small voice in their head. So you got to fight through a lot of stuff that's in there. But if you get the right kids, the message can still be the same. You know, you can still be the same. You can still demand the same things. You just got to understand that you got to fight through a lot of stuff for it to sink in.
Sure.
So, Coach, how does that impact recruiting then? Because, obviously, if the athletes have changed, which, I mean, it's just I have four kids.
Oh, sure.
And I know. Times have changed.
100%.
But so for you guys now from a very competitive program.
Right.
Now, are you looking to identify some of the kids that take the coaching a little more?
Right.
How does that affect your recruiting?
Right. When you're watching a kid play and you can tell, do they like being coached? Do they want to be coached? Do they want to be coached a certain way? Like, you know, and I think they're still out there, obviously, and it's harder to find them. But to me, I don't do well with kids that need a lot of hand-holding. Mm-hmm. And, like, it used to be like this. Like, if you practice for 2 hours, and over that course of 2 hours, I must have said 15 things to you. You can't do this. You can't do that. What the hell? You know, bump, 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 bump. A whole litany of things. But the last play of the practice, or the last 5 minutes of practice, I told you, yo, man, that was the best play I've seen. You know, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That kid went home. That's what they took home.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Now, fast forward. You say 15 things during practice. I love you, man. You know I love you, right? You know you're the best player ever to come to Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know we couldn't win without you, right? Yeah. But at the end of practice, you go, yo, man, that pass sucked. That kid goes home, coach thinks I suck.
Yeah.
You know, so it's yeah. flipped a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you've got to kind of like zig and zag with these guys. And, you know, you got to get the kids that want to be honest. They say, coach, you know, be real with me, man. Tell me the truth. Because I'll ask them all the time.
Yeah.
I said, you want me to lie to you or you want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah.
Now, when you're recruiting, just to kind of stay on that,
yeah.
you obviously, and I know, like, I played hockey, and so the number one thing when we talk to junior coaches or collegiate coaches that are guys going pro, is he coachable?
That's
you
right.
talk to
That's
the
right.
coach,
That's
you know,
right.
and then you ask him, ask some of the teammates, is he a good guy?
That's
and
right.
And people's reactions immediately, they tell a story, don't they?
They do. And people ask me all the time, whether it's parents or kids or coaches, what are you looking for,
mm-hmm.
okay,
yeah.
at Connecticut? And I said, well, obviously, if you're not talented, I wouldn't be there anyway. All right, so I wouldn't be watching you play if you weren't
right.
talented enough to play for us.
Sure.
So now I'm like, what kind of teammate is this kid? You know, like throw a bad pass. Bitch and moan that the kid didn't catch a pass.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Ref calls a foul. You're bitching at the ref. Go sit down, put your towel over your head and sulk. You know, to me, like, that's a sign. And the other is, are they unselfish enough that they are willing to give up themselves for their team?
Mm.
So because, you know, every kid that's being recruited by us is talented as heck. But now you got to identify those guys that are great teammates and unselfish. And they want you to be honest with them.
Now, Coach, you have coached tons of great players. Super,
one from
Diana
here from St. Louis, man.
Yeah, you've had so many players. Rebecca Lobo, Maya Moore. I'm not going to ask you who is the best player because that's like asking who's your favorite kid. But I will ask you who is the hardest worker that you've coached.
Wow. You know, sometimes it's they're the same person, and that's when you're really, really lucky.
Yeah.
And all those kids, for me, that you know, we've had, what, 7 or 8 national players of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all hard workers,
right.
and they all played. But guys like Diana Taurasi and Maya Moore came to Connecticut as a freshman and probably was the most competitive kid I've ever seen right from day one.
Yeah.
Okay, now there were other things that you got to work on, obviously. But, and then Diana maybe was the greatest killer that I've ever coached.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't wait for anything, you know?
Yeah.
And she didn't, like, you know, like, she'd come over and like, strangle you. Put right at the opening tip, she put her hands around your neck and just choked the life out of you.
I love that.
And she'd been doing that. And then tell you, this is what I'm going to do.
That's awesome.
So, you know, she was like, and that's why guys love watching her play back in the day. She's not sure that happens as much today. Kids are too nice to each other, you know?
Yeah.
But she was a killer, man.
Latrell Sprewell tried to do that. He got in trouble. What are you doing?
Not the same.
Yeah. It looked different.
You can't do it to your coach.
Not to your coach. Yeah, PJ Carlissimo was like, yeah. Coach, one more thing. Since you brought up your former player, you know, they've got so many things to say for Caitlin Clark. Like, hey, listen, nice job, kid.
Yeah.
Welcome to the WNBA. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
When you have watched, and of course, you got your own team to coach, but when you have watched Caitlin play, what are the things do you think will translate to the professional league for Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, because she'll play against Diana.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to have her hands full.
Everybody's going to be tuned in for that.
100%.
Listen, they did this to her, to Diana, when she was coming out. She's the great, you know, she's the savior of the league. And everybody says, yeah, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just a ritual that all rookies have to go through, especially the highest hyped ones, right?
Yeah.
But somebody asked me a while back, how would you describe her? What player do you – and I said, you know, I don't think there's been a woman's player. But I said, she is Pete Maravich, though.
Wow.
Okay? Now
no pressure, Caitlin.
But you say, well, how many championships did Pete Maravich win? None.
Yeah.
Zero. So they're getting on Caitlin. Like, well, you know, you have to win a national championship in order to be labeled.
Yeah.
But we're not saying who's the most valuable player or who's the greatest winner. You know, what I'm saying is that kid does things on the floor that, I mean, so when they say, like, you know, here's the other thing that bothers me. You broke Pete Maravich's record. Well, he only played 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if he'd have played four, he would have scored 5,000 points.
Yeah.
And if they had a three-point line, he would have averaged 60 points a game. But that's her, though. Yeah. I mean, you know, if she plays, you know, she's going to get 25 on a bad day.
Right.
So she makes plays for other people. She scores from all over the floor. Will she be able to have the freedom in the WNBA? I don't mean from the coaching staff. I mean, will the other players let her just kind of go and do her thing? No.
Yeah.
No, she's going to have a lot of bumps and bruises.
She obviously, and justifiably so, shoots the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. When she gets to the WNBA, teammates are going to probably wonder why she's not distributing the rock a little bit.
And she will. She will. But, you know, people are going to pay to come watch her shoot.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, in the pros, that's the way it works, right? But I think the kid's unselfish enough, you know, and they've got some other good players. But you're right. You're not going to get 25 shots a night.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Yeah. She might. But
you never know.
You never know. But generally speaking, that. But you got to be efficient, though. And she'll learn how to be efficient.
Yeah.
She'll go, okay, how am I going to get my points on less shots?
Sure.
And how am I going to get to the free throw line more? And how am I going to get better defensively, which she has to do in that league? But, you know, there isn't a kid that goes pro. I don't care if it's men, women, whoever. You got a kid from out here, right? Jason Tatum. I was at Celtics game. That, you know, he comes out of Duke 1 year. Those guys get in the league, man. It's rough.
Yeah.
And it's going to be rough on the kid. You know, it's going to be rough on the kid. But, hey, my favorite player, you didn't ask my favorite player since I'm in St. Louis, Nafisa Kier from Incarnate over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you said, how long are you going to coach? How long are you going to stay in this business? I said, well, if I coach 10 Nafisa Kiers, I coach till I'm 100.
Wow. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. Kid never miss practice, never hurt, never took a day off, never took a playoff. All you do is scream at her for things that she didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
But you talk about effort and intensity and a motor and just boom, boom, boom. That's what makes coaching fun when you get a kid like that.
Well, it helps you set the standard, too. As the coach, you've got a player that's setting the tempo for you.
It
means you don't have to be, you know, behind everybody screaming.
Right. Well, and the last thing I'll say, and that coaches are struggling with today, is you used to have a guy in the locker room that would go in. Like, I'll give you a quick example. When I was coaching the Olympic team, we were down 4 to Australia at halftime in the semifinals. Semifinal game, yeah. And I'm pissed. And I'm going to the locker room, and these are adults, right? And six of them had played for me in college.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go in, and I'm going to rip these guys, right? And I go in, and I'm like, boom, boom, boom. And they're looking at me like this. And I'm like, there's no effect on this at all. Like, what's going on here? And then I found out later, Sue Bird and Taurasi had walked in there and had already done that.
You were round two.
I was round two. Yeah. So they're like going like this. Why are you telling us this?
Yeah, we already know.
So when you have guys like that, to me, that's how you win. And if you don't have guys like that, I don't care what sport, you ain't winning.
Yeah.
You got to have a team that's coached by the players as much as – now, the right players.
Right.
You've all seen teams that are coached by the wrong guy.
Yeah, you got to have the right players dragging you into the battle, not dragging you out.
That's right.
Coach, we can honestly talk to you for another hour.
No, but
we know you got a great night ahead of you, so congratulations on the season.
Thanks for having me.
And really,
I appreciate
UConn it. UConn basketball overall, because I think the men's did okay, too.
Thank you.
So.
Well, yeah. You know, now they're talking to us, like, these guys won two in a row. I'm like, yeah, guys, that's really good. Take some of the pressure off of us, but enough's enough now. Let's not get carried away.
I love the competitive fire. Thanks,
Coach.
See you guys.
Enjoy your night, for sure.